Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Today, I know a lot of you have been asking for it. We get to our grades from Packers, Eagles. Finally had the opportunity to go through all the snaps on defense. I had the offense done for a while, but finally got through everything on defense yesterday. So today we get to go through our best and worst graded players from the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. I don't do special teams if you're not aware. If you want to check out the full grades, you can always get them over at PackerReport.com. They will be posted there, but I digress. For now, we've got a couple things to go over really quick, and then we will get into all the grades. First of all, brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Titletown Hoosier Cards and Christine James. Thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. Hope you're enjoying all the extra content. Also, awesome opportunity to go out and download the Autograph app. They are officially fully, completely live. Before it was in the beta version. Now it is completely out there. You can go get signed up right away. It is the easiest, best to use sports app out there for following all of your favorite teams, and you get all of their favorite, you know, all of the best articles, the best podcasts, which Pack-A-Day is out there, right there on the Autograph app that you can listen to it there every day. You can get, obviously, the Packers community is out there. You can get tickets there. It's got everything all in one place, including yours truly with exclusive content. I just did a video for them the other day about the three things that the Packers need to change going into week two. So if you want to check that out, download the Autograph app today and make sure to get it and check out that exclusive content again over on Autograph. All right, transactions. Packers signed two new players to their practice squad, wide receiver TJ Luther and tight end Johnny Lumpkin. Meanwhile, they released LaMichael Pirine, the running back, and then wide receiver Jalen Wayne. A little bit bummed about Jalen Wayne. I really kind of liked what he was doing in training camp and preseason. I really liked how he blocked. There was a little bit of wiggle at the line of scrimmage, good hands. I didn't think there was anything like, you know, developmental for like this guy could become a number three wide receiver or anything like that. But I liked him as a practice squad guy. I thought he could potentially be called up and be used as a number five or six wide receiver in an absolute emergency. But Green Bay clearly liked TJ Luther better. I'm going to have to dig into him a little bit more. I haven't had the opportunity to throw on any TJ Luther or Johnny Lumpkin tape as of yet, but if I do, I will keep you posted. But in the meantime, two new players on the practice squad, two players gone again, LaMichael Pirine and Jalen Wayne. Meanwhile, big news on the Colts front. Their top corner, I think he's second-year player, if I remember correctly, Juju Brents, really good corner, easily their number one guy, is out for the season. The Colts were already perilously thin at corner. Like, Juju Brents, solid, good corner, but, like, we're not talking any shutdown corner here, and they already were in need of depth and just additional talent at that position, and losing their best guy is certainly not going to help that. Now, they still have one of the best slot corners in the league, or nickel corners, however you want to view it, in Kenny Moore. But at outside corner, Jalen Jones is okay. Dallas Flowers last year in 2023 looked like he was going to develop into a good starting corner. I think, forgive me if it was an ACL, but I'm pretty sure it was an Achilles injury that he had. But either way, he was lost for the year. You can tell he is still working his way back and is not completely there yet. Had a really rough preseason. And then you've got Samuel Womack III and Chris Lammons. That is their corner room. Jalen Jones, Dallas Flowers, Samuel Womack III, Chris Lammons, and then Kenny Moore in the slot. Really good slot corner, but the outside corners leave a lot to be desired. Now, it pains me a little bit because that should be Jordan Love and all these insane wide receivers going against this corner room that's just not up to par. And instead, it's Malik Willis, and how much he's actually going to be able to attack those corners remains to be seen. But if you are looking for some hope that maybe Malik Willis will be able to throw the ball a little bit and maybe he, you know, can get some open receivers against these corners, this gives you a little bit more hope because they are going to be down their number one guy. And with that, we get into our week one grades, and I will give the same disclaimer that I give every single year. I will probably give it multiple times through the course of this year when we get into our grading episodes. The grades are not perfect. They're never meant to be perfect. They were always something that I did sort of as my own thing to track and I started releasing them and people liked it. So I continued to do it. I've been doing it since 2017. I grade every single player on every single play. I go through it with a fine tooth comb. And you might say, well, you don't know certain things that they're trying to, you're absolutely right. I absolutely do not. But there are plays, every single play you can glean something from. And you can glean some very clear and obvious players who did well on a play, and you can glean some very clear and obvious players who did not do well on a play. I'm not trying to grade every single, you know, minutia and every little piece of the play. That's impossible. I can't do it without the knowledge of what's going on and what they're asking those players to do. But if there's a 50-50 ball between a wide receiver and a corner, I can certainly grade that. If there is a, you know, one-on-one and you've got a pass rusher versus an offensive tackle, and it's a pass pro rep and they're clearly going at each other, I can grade who won that rep. I can clearly grade a running back on, you know, how he did hitting the hold. Did he make somebody miss? Did he get tackled too easily? There are a billion different things that you can grade through the course of a play that you do see. And if you take all of that information and gather it through the course of time from 2017 through today, I don't care who you are or what your knowledge base is, you're going to pick up on some things. So, and the last thing I'll say here, and then we'll get to our grades, is even if you don't like the number grades or you don't want to put any value in that, that's okay. The main conversation and the crux of this is going to be talking about some of the big plays that stood out, why a player looked good, why maybe one did not look so good. And that's more of the, I think, opportunity to kind of talk about it in a unique way. Because whether or not you want to trust the grades, it's still, if you're getting one person who is looking at it every single player, every single play throughout the entire course of the year, again, going all the way back to 2017, that person is going to pick up on some things. And that's what I'm going to try to do today, is get you all of that information and go over it. If you want the full grades, over on PackerReport.com. Week one is always free to everyone. You can all go out there and see it. If you like what you see, you can sign up to become a VIP member. And then weeks two through, hopefully the Super Bowl, will all be out there for the VIP members as well. And usually if you wait for a little bit, you can usually get like a subscription for $1 a month and things like that. They run a ton of promotion. So keep an eye out for those over at PackerReport.com. as well. But without further ado, let's get into the grades. Let's go over our top three on offense first. Number one is going to be of no surprise whatsoever, with a monster grade. So 0.0 is a neutral grade. Anything above that is positive. Anything below it is obviously negative. And then it, of course, ranges. Again, if you also want to know how I grade it, that is over on Packer Report as well. At the bottom will be a blurb on how I go about grading every player on every play. But Jaden Reed, +2.70, a monster grade, and deservedly so. He gets the game going, the first touchdown of the game with that end around. The end around was a beautiful play, both from a blocking standpoint, but also what Jaden Reed was able to bring to the table. I think this play was just kind of ultimate Jaden Reed. One, showing off the speed around the edge, and then just navigating traffic. Just a beautiful vision to what was going on the play. And it goes and harkens back to Ron Wolf. And if you read The Packer Way, which if you have not done yet, I cannot recommend it enough. Go and read that. But one of the things he mentions in there is one of the things that they look for at the wide receiver position is players that have been returners, specifically a punt returner in college. Because a lot of times those players, the punt return skills that they need to be a big time returner in college, are going to transition into players who have to run after the catch as a receiver in the NFL. You saw this perfectly with Jaden Reed on this play. You saw somebody who knew how to navigate small spaces. And he had this alleyway, just kind of like a punt return would be, and he navigated it beautifully. And then I think the big moment here was Zach Bond had him. Zach Bond, who had a million tackles in this game, gets his arms on him, and Jaden Reed shakes it off like it's nothing. Like, it is so impressive. This is not some, you know, Derrick Henry-esque player. This is a small-ish wide receiver that has great contact balance, that runs through tackles, that stays low to the ground, that has tremendous instincts, and can win in a variety of different ways. That was a big time run. And then, of course, he finishes it with speed again. And then later, you talk about body control. On a field that was a pseudo ice rink, he's able to cut on an absolute dime and watch Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just fly out of the screen as he tries to stop and follow the cutback of Jaden Reed. He can't. And Jaden Reed cuts back, makes Chauncey Gardner-Johnson look silly, or CJ Gardner-Johnson look silly, and just continues down the field for the touchdown. Add on the final drive of the game, where it's the sort of rollout by Jordan Love to get to the 50-ish yard line, and Love's throw is just incredible, and he hits Jaden Reed, and Reed takes a hit, absorbs it. It's like he just brushes off his shoulder, says, "That's all you got?" and he gets his feet in, gets out, and gets out of bounds on the play. Tremendous play there. And I will also go back to the play where they had 12 men on the field for both teams. That's also a huge play for Jaden Reed. As I'm grading this, that still counts as a big play for Jaden Reed. It's not his fault on the play that there was an extra guy in offense that shouldn't have been there. That was still a massive play from Jaden. And again, what you're looking for when you're grading this is just who's playing well and how is that going to, you know, kind of continue in the future. You're also looking for trends. Jaden Reed was simply astounding in this game. He did have one blemish. If you remember, right before the Braden Narveson missed field goal, right? It was a 45-yard field goal. Right before that, you had the situation where Jaden Reed had the pass along the sidelines and it hit him in the hands, maybe a tad bit outside, but still easily catchable for Jaden Reed. And he drops it. And that probably would have gone from like a 45-yard field goal to probably like a 39, 38-yard field goal, a much easier, you know, potential make for Braden Narveson. Instead, Reed drops it and ends up being a 45-yarder and he ends up clanking it off the post. So that was just one blemish on the day. It wasn't perfect, but a massive day for Jaden Reed. Number two, Elton Jenkins with a plus 1.15 grade. I loved this game from Elton. And I've been kind of one of those people that there's no debate that Elton is a good player. No question about it whatsoever. He is a starting five offensive lineman on every NFL team in the league. But I am also of the mind that Elton, for the most part, is through his career, has been slightly overrated. I think people think all pro or Pro Bowl, you know, when they think of Elton, and it just hasn't been that. It's been good. It's just not been like ridiculously great or in that conversation. And that's okay. He's a really, really good player. Like I said, that would start for all 32 teams, can play multiple positions. Like, he is so much valuable for this Green Bay team. And I'm not saying in any way, shape or form that he's a bad player. He is a really good football player, but I've always kind of wanted to see Elton just really go out and have that season that I think everyone knows that he is capable of. And hopefully this is a sign that maybe this could be the year. Because if he plays like this through 17 games, then yeah, he is going to be in that Pro Bowl / All Pro conversation. He was fantastic in this one. Thought from a run blocking standpoint and pass protection, no one was getting really close to him. Didn't matter what defensive tackle or what defensive lineman he was going against. He was sort of stonewalling everyone. I thought this was a really, really strong first performance from Elton Jenkins. And I don't have a specific play. There's not anything where he went out. And I think there was one play actually where he maybe did get a little bit of a pancake on one player. But it's not like I'm going to say, yep, this one play, oh my goodness, Elton had this crazy butt. It was just consistency through the course of the game. And a lot of times, especially along the offensive line, if you want to have a really good grade, it's just that consistency that really gets you there. And in this game, he was shut down through the entire course of the game. It was really fun to watch. Thought it was one of his better games in a while. And hopefully, like I said, this is a harbinger of things to come for the remainder of Elton's season. And he really becomes that player that I think we all know he can be and maybe puts together his best season as a pro in the NFL. And then the third one was Tucker Kraft. A lot of people surprised that Tucker Kraft was tight end one. For those of you who've been following the channel, I've been Tucker Kraft tight end one for a while, but I did not expect this discrepancy in snaps. I did not expect it to be Tucker Kraft with what, like all but like three or four snaps in this game and Musgrave with like 17 or 18, a massive difference there. Ben Sims only got one snap, but not surprised that Tucker Kraft is tight end one. He's a more all-around tight end. We talked about it in the offseason. What does Matt LaFleur value in this offense? It's being able to block, and Tucker Kraft is just a much better blocker. He's a run after the catch guy. He can get open. His route running's getting better. I thought we saw a little bit of all of that in this game. And you had the one play, which was beautifully designed on the little crosser. And then you saw the speed and run after catch ability that he had on that. It wasn't a perfect day blocking for Tucker Kraft. There's a couple plays that he would certainly like to have back, but I love the effort that he gave, got to his landmarks, sealed multiple players on some blocks that helped spring some big runs from Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson. Overall, really sound day. And I think this is just a sliver of what we can come to expect from Tucker Kraft in the future. I said it right before the start of the season in my bold predictions that Tucker Kraft would be like the breakout guy for the Packers this year. I believe it even more now, and it's only going to get better. Remember, he had the back injury flare up last week. He had the pec injury all throughout. Like, he's barely been able to practice a ton, and this is what he's putting together, and he's the guy at tight end. And deservedly so. He looks really good. And again, was my third highest graded player on offense for the week. Week one is officially in the books, and while it didn't maybe go the way many of us were hoping, it was still great to have football back in our lives. Now, we're on to week two, and there is still plenty of winning to be done, especially with Prize Picks. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. And trust me, you are not going to want to miss this deal on Prize Picks. What I love about Prize Picks is that you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still live. So obviously, I'll be going with Caleb Williams again in week two, but I have an oddly confident feeling about Malik Willis as well, especially when it comes to rushing yards. Whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early, and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me, and this is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as for those results, users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. And what's even better, there's no credit check and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, getkickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. My bottom three, Rashid Walker had a tough game, negative 0.6. I posted or I retweeted out on Twitter, and in the grades article, you'll see Brandon Thorne, who's an offensive line guru, posted some really good plays from Rashid Walker in this one. And that's what I love. Like, even when a player like Rashid has a tough game like this, there's still some really good stuff to go out and look at. So make sure to check that out as well. There's some really good things that Rashid did in this game, but there also were some uncharacteristic errors, gave up some pressures, struggled in run blocking, had a couple penalties. And after what I thought was a great end to last season, a really good training camp, I thought he was really going to come in and carry that over to Brazil and against Philadelphia in week one. And it just wasn't fully there. A lot more inconsistency from Rashid than, quite frankly, I was expecting. And I think he'll bounce back. I don't have any concerns about Rashid. This was not one of those like, oh my goodness, they lost the game because of him. A negative 0.6 is a tough day, but it's not brutal. It's not like, oh my goodness, it's a negative 2 point something. And again, that may have been a huge reason why they lost the game. Does it need to be better? Yes. Will it be better from him? Yes. We saw better from him almost the entirety of the second half of last year. So he'll bounce back, but this was a tough one for Rashid. Second lowest was Jordan Love, negative 0.5. And I'll just say quarterback has the tendency to be a little bit boom or bust, meaning you're usually going to end up with a really good grade or sometimes not so great of a grade. You're almost, in the vast majority of cases, it just feels like you're either on the top three or the bottom three. It's just sort of the nature of the position. It's not always that way, but a lot of times it does come up that way. There's just a lot on your plate. And if you have a good game, you're probably going to be in the top three no matter what. If you have a bad game, you're probably going to be in the bottom three no matter what. This one was a little bit more in the middle. There's some awesome stuff that Jordan did in this game. That throw to set up a potential Hail Mary, which unfortunately never happened because of the injury, and then Malik Willis couldn't get the throw off. That throw to Jayden Reed was just unbelievably epic. If you have not watched that thing in its entirety and go and see how he torques his body to figure out a way to throw in a crazy arm, like just unbelievable throw from Jordan. And he, you know, had the play where he stepped up in the pocket, found Jayden Reed on the touchdown. I had a couple other really good throws in this one too, but just some bigger mistakes. Had some really errant throws. The one that hit at Jaden Reed's feet, had one to Romeo Doubs that went a little bit wide. Of course, had the interception where he was targeting Luke Musgrave, and then what should have been a pick six to N'Kobe Dean. That's one of those where you throw it and you just can't make that mistake. And that's going to be a potential massive negative grade. Now, to me, and how I grade it, and just to kind of give you a peek behind the curtain, it's not the result that matters. It's the process. So the fact that N'Kobe Dean dropped it does not give Jordan Love, from a grading standpoint, a mulligan, or of like, oh, didn't happen. No big deal. We don't have to grade it as negative. No, he threw a pass that should have been a pick six in a very detrimental period of that game. That would have been probably the game right then and there. And he got lucky that N'Kobe Dean dropped it. They ended up going in and putting a touchdown drive together after that. But that could have been a huge negative for the game right at that point. But it still ends up as a negative in the grade. And, you know, I just thought the accuracy wasn't quite there. There were a lot of really good plays that counteracted some of the negatives. But this is one where it just needs to be a little bit better. And could it be maybe a little bit closer to neutral if you wanted to go in that direction? Sure, I wouldn't hate that. But I just thought there was a lot of opportunity there for Jordan. I didn't think he made the most of it. And I would have liked to have seen him just play a little bit of a more consistent, accurate brand of football. And we just didn't see that throughout the course of the game from Jordan. And then Josh Myers, negative 0.3. Nothing super egregious here. I know Myers ends up on this list a lot. I actually didn't think that this would be considered like a bad game or a really bad game from Josh. Just a couple things. The two-point conversion play was the big one. He completely whiffs on the block there, which leads to the play where they can't get the two-point conversion and the Eagles being in the backfield on that one. Couple plays like that where it's just sort of the same kind of inconsistent Josh Myers that you never know what you're going to get down by down. I thought this was an okay game, nothing brutal, but still graded in the negative. All right, some other noteworthy players on offense, the two running backs, Emmanuel Wilson, plus 0.4, Josh Jacobs, plus 0.3. I thought both of those guys had nice games. Of course, it took a little bit for Josh Jacobs to get going, but once he did, it looked a whole heck of a lot better. I actually chalk quite a bit of the problems up early to blocking. And we can talk about similarly here, he had also a big turnover worthy play, right? The fumble, that would have been a play that could have been extremely costly. And shout out to Bo Melton for being Johnny on the spot and recovering the fumble. But that would have been a big negative, or that was a big negative in the score sheet for me. Could have been a big negative in the game for the Packers. Again, thankfully Bo Melton recovered, but that still gets him a big negative. Had it not been for that, he would have graded very well in this game. And Emmanuel Wilson too. Emmanuel Wilson plus 0.4 on very limited playing time, had a couple of great runs, and I thought he was just really smooth, which was impressive. Oh, going back to Josh Jacobs too, had a couple of really nice blitz pickups, so that always helps the grade as well. Jordan Morgan versus Sean Ryan. I had Jordan Morgan at 0.00, so completely neutral grade. Had one play against Jalen Carter where Carter beat him pretty easily, but I thought for the rest of the day, held up pretty darn well. And I was overall impressed. I thought there's a lot of upside there. He started to show it already. And again, outside of the one play that Jalen Carter really got into Jordan Love's face a little bit, thought it was a really nice day at the office. And then Sean Ryan, negative 0.2. Not a bad day. Had his usual couple of really nice plays as a run blocker, a couple of pass pro plays that he'd like to have back, but a slight advantage for Jordan Morgan going into week two. I do think we'll see a little bit more Jordan Morgan, but my guess is this is probably close to a 50-50 split this upcoming week. And then Zach Tom, PFF had a 90 plus grade on him and just gave him a massive grade. I had a plus 0.1. I really liked what I saw to Zach in pass pro, but I thought there were some things he could have done as a run blocker, just a little bit better. Good game for Zach. I just didn't think it was quite the 90 plus performance that PFF had it at. But either way, Zach's a stud. He's set it and forget it on the right side. There were no real issues, no pressures that he gave up. So this is still a very good game from Zach. I just had it a little bit worse, more to the run blocking than anything, than maybe what PFF had him at. Top three on defense. Xavier McKinney plus 1.00, the interception being a huge piece here. The other play that I want to talk about, well, you had the pass breakup early in the game as well. And then the play where Saquon versus Isaiah McDuffie, where Saquon gets the touchdown. We'll talk a little bit about that play coming up, spoiler alert. But if Xavier McKinney doesn't slip on that play, not only do I think he at least breaks it up, he might have a beat on that ball to maybe get his second interception of the day. I think it's probably pass breakup and not pick, but as he goes and starts taking the angle to Saquon to get there, he just has a slip on the field because everyone slipped on the field all throughout the course of the day. If he doesn't, I think he makes a play on that ball, probably again to break it up, and but may have even had a chance to pick it off. Like, that was the type of day that he had, though. He's so quick, so smooth. Thought he came back up it well in run support through the course of the day. But that interception that he had was awesome. He read the quarterback's eyes the entire way, came off of his area, made the beautiful, aggressive play to go and get it, picked it off. And then, by the way, too, on that play, Jordan Mailata, the offensive tackle for the Eagles, makes a phenomenal play to get Xavier McKinney to the ground. If that's any other offensive tackle not named Jordan Mailata, I think Xavier McKinney houses that thing. But Mailata is a former rugby player. He's a stud athlete, and he gets in space and somehow finds a way to tackle Xavier McKinney in space, and I think probably saved a touchdown on that play. Edgerrin Cooper, plus 0.45. What a really impressive short stint that he had in this game. Matt LaFleur did mention that he did have a play where he had a misalignment or a blown assignment, one of the two. So he's going to have to clean that up a little bit. He also mentioned that he expects him to play more coming up, which you would think so. In a very small sample size, made a variety of different plays, had the shoestring tackle on one, had really nice coverage on a tight end on another, was just flashing all over the place. Had the one where he blitzed and saw the ball was going to go wide, so he batted it down. Just really, really fun stuff. And you can see all of the raw athleticism, talent, speed, acceleration, all on display. And hopefully, fingers crossed, that only continues to get better. Then you've got Javon Bullard, plus 0.4. Now, Bullard had a couple plays. He missed a tackle on one. And then the Jaire Alexander, where Alexander gave up the big touchdown to A.J. Brown, Bullard took a really bad angle on that. Just over-aggressive. A.J. Brown cut it back, and Bullard was just completely out of the play. So stuff to clean up from Bullard. But the fact that he was integral in that big touchdown to A.J. Brown and had another play where he missed a tackle, had a couple negatives, and still ended up here just goes to tell you what he did the rest of the day. He was all over the place, attacking everything, coming up and making some big hits in the run game. Had a big hit on A.J. Brown over the middle of the field just to make his presence known. Like, I loved watching Javon Bullard play in this one. It's only going to get better. This is his first game, obviously, playing full-time in the NFL. It's first regular season game, and I was so impressed. And again, a couple things he needs to get cleaned up. He will, but I think there's a very, very bright future ahead for Javon Bullard. All right, bottom three on defense. And this is where you get into the issue of this is your highest paid players. These are the guys that need to perform. Thankfully, Xavier McKinney did, but these three did not. Kenny Clark, -1.10. Somebody asked me, is that the lowest grade that Kenny's ever had? No, but it's the third lowest, the third worst game I've ever graded Kenny Clark at. I thought he was really rough in this one. PFF and I did not agree on a variety of different things in our grading on this one, which is also cool. Like, that's, I think that's always valuable as well. I always love going out there after I do my grades and seeing how they graded things just to see where there are the differences. But Kenny Clark, PFF and I were almost identical. They had him very, very low in their grades. I had him lowest in my grades. Just a tough day. Really uncharacteristically struggled to hold up against double teams. Got moved out of the gap on multiple plays. The touchdown where Quay Walker missed Saquon on the play. Kenny Clark is like two gaps where he shouldn't be. Like, he just gets completely blasted off the ball in the other direction, which is why that cutback lane was there in the first place. That was just the type of day that he had. And he struggled to make any big plays. And I'll also add the holding penalty on there. I know a lot of people didn't like it. Could you have probably let that go? And does that normally get called? Maybe. But I will say this. He held him. Saquon Barkley was very clearly trying to release out of the backfield. And Kenny Clark just grabs a hold of him right in front of the ref. That's going to get called. I know that, you know, defensive holding calls are just so rare that when they do get called, it seems like a little bit of weak sauce. But this was not one of those where he's holding a player so that the linebacker can go up and get some. This is Saquon's trying to leak out and he just grabs him. And you just can't do that. And that's a bad play in a bad situation on a third down. So those are things that need to get cleaned up. I thought Kenny had a tough day. He'll do better. He's a stud. He gets grades in the positive every single year. But he needs to certainly be better than what he was this past week. And then number two, Preston Smith. -0.9. Now, part of this, and I understand this, and this went into the, you know, factoring into the grade as well, is they were trying to contain Jalen Hurts, which they did a good job of. But there were so many plays where Preston did have the opportunity to maybe get after the quarterback a little bit more, and he just didn't. He really struggled against Mailata. And again, credit Mailata. Mailata is an absolute stud. Preston did have a couple of really nice plays maintaining Jalen Hurts, and there were some read option stuff that he was right there for. Also had a really nice play in the run game. So there were positives from Preston, but just not enough. And for the vast majority of the day, Jordan Mailata kind of handed him his lunch and just kind of had his way with him. And Preston really couldn't get anything going. And then Jair Alexander, negative 0.75, my third lowest graded player. The sixth, I think, lowest grade I ever had for Jair. This was one of those games where roller coaster from Jair, right? Huge interception, but then pulls it out of the end zone. Had a big pass breakup, had the opportunity for another interception in the game. And then, of course, the big touchdown to AJ Brown. The one that I really struggle with is there's a third down and it's out wide. It's to AJ Brown is where he's going. And they're bringing a corner blitz from Keyshawn Nixon. And they designed it beautifully. A couple of defensive tackles dropped out. They've got, I think, still just four or five guys coming. But Keyshawn Nixon comes untouched off the edge and just blasts the quarterback. And that's a play where you get an uncovered corner blitz that he's just coming full steam ahead and he's hitting the QB. That, at minimum, probably needs to be a sack. And here's the thinking on this. Sorry, Jalen Hurts is looking left the entire way. And Jair has to know not just his responsibility, but what the play call is. It's a third down. You know they're going to be looking sticks, and you have a blitz call on. And one that probably is likely to get home. And it's, for Ja, he is a little bit of a risk taker at times, and he does a great job usually of keeping his eyes in the backfield, multitasking, and knowing what's going on. AJ Brown runs a little out route. And maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe I can't remember if it took place. I believe it took place after the AJ Brown out and up. So maybe he was a little bit gun shy at this point. But this is one of those plays where if you really understand what's going on, third and seven, AJ Brown's running and out. You have a corner blitz on that's probably going to get there. And if you are watching, you know that he's unblocked. This is the play where you jump that thing. This is the play where you need to go and you need to make an aggressive play on the ball. Because if you do, you're probably housed. So one of three things is going to happen. The best case scenario that happens, if he jumps that route on AJ Brown, the best case for the Eagles is that it's either incomplete or it's a sack. That somehow Jair just gets there on time and bats it away, or that Keyshawn Nixon just has a sack. Those are probably your best case scenarios. And on a third down, that those are both punting scenarios. You're basically turning over the ball. If Jair, if he throws it and Jair jumps it right, it might be a pick six. Or if Jair jumps it and Hurts holds it for one extra beat, Keyshawn Nixon's going to end up again either with the sack or I think probably a forced fumble in that situation because he was just going to hit him hard and Hurts had no idea it was coming. So if you can see that the corner is getting there and make that jump, again, you're going to end up with a sack, a forced fumble, a pass breakup, an interception, something, and you're going to get the ball back. But he's late on it, he reacts slow, and then as he gets there, he misses the tackle. And it ends up being an easy first down for AJ Brown. And it's like, those are the things where your playmakers need to make plays. They drew up a great play. Keyshawn Nixon got there untouched, and all Jair has to do is cover that play for a couple seconds on the out route. And if he just goes for it and trusts it, then he might have a pick six on that play, but instead it ends up a huge first down for Philly. And that was the type of day that it was for Jair Alexander overall. Some noteworthy performances, Rashawn Gary, negative 0.3. Tough day for him. Same thing as sort of on the other side, Lane Johnson, really good offensive tackle. At least Gary did get a sack, had a pass breakup on that one that he batted down on a bootleg or a rollout. So a couple of good things, but just too far shut down for a player of Rashawn Gary's status. He needs to be more impactful. He was not in this one, ends up in a slight negative. LVN, for all the buzz and talk of how he didn't get very many snaps and he's edge rusher four, Kingsley and Igbari got more snaps. All true, he graded out as the best edge rusher, plus 0.35. He was the only one, even against Jordan Mailata, who was actually able to kind of push him back a little bit and give him a little bit of problem. So there's still a lot of talent there for LVN. He clearly needs to cultivate it, but he actually in very limited snaps performed pretty well in this one. So I think the demise or that he's a bust, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Might end up coming to that someday, but I thought in this game he had a pretty solid performance. Quay Walker, negative 0.6, tough game. Made a couple really nice plays, but just made too many plays where he got blocked up, was out of his gap, not where he's supposed to be, and just Too many Quay Walker-esque plays. Needs to be better. This is a third year now. He's expected to be more, and he needs to be more. And then the other one, Isaiah McDuffie, had a plus 0.3 grade on Isaiah. I was not necessarily expecting that. The touchdown to Saquon's a tough one, that you hang with him. It's a beautiful play design. It's a big-time mismatch. And I actually thought McDuffie did a pretty darn good job of sticking with that and getting his hand in there and making that about as much of a play as you can really hope for in that scenario. It's still a negative. I thought he could have taken maybe a little bit of a better angle. But overall, to get there and actually kind of make a play on it, it was, I think, kind of impressive. He actually had a couple plays where he covered Devontae Smith, and he kind of covered him well, which was impressive. And then here's the other thing. We talked about, or I talked about it with Aaron Nagler on Let's Talk Football on Cheesehead TV the other day. This is a team that has all been about rallying to the football and mentality and aggressive and all this. And I thought that kind of hit a little flat on Friday night, not for Isaiah McDuffie. He was flying around. He was happy to be making plays, and his gas tank was full and he was rallying to everything. So I appreciated that about him as well. PFF did not grade him well. They had him as one of their lowest graded players on the day. I liked him a little bit more. In fact, I had a slight positive on Isaiah McDuffie. All right, so my top three on offense, Jaden Reed, Elton Jenkins, Tucker Kraft. Bottom three on offense, Rashid Walker, Jordan Love, and Josh Myers. Top three on defense, Xavier McKinney, Edgerrin Cooper, and Javon Bullard. Bottom three on defense, Kenny Clark, Preston Smith, and Jaire Alexander. That is going to do it for me today. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, SoCal Pack, Dan Guestford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, and Jay Foreman. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.